Hello, my friends. I'm Bill McLaughlin. Welcome to St. Paul Sunday.
St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio and made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. Join us today with our guests, Anonymous Four.
Amazing music that is ecstatic, reverent, transporting. And for most of it, it's new, which is an interesting phenomenon. And for a while, years ago, I was in graduate school studying with a sociologist who liked to talk about what he called the social condition of art, by which he meant, I want to see who's paying for it, how much did they pay, and does it change over a period of time? I've often tried to figure out how that works in music. I guess we keep track of record sales, number of performances we see, but there's a general critical climate, by which I mean, how do the best writers on the subject treat the artist? We are spending most of today's program listening to one particular artist, Hildegard of Bingen, German abbess from the 12th century, poet, composer, painter, mystic, thinker, healer. And over these last 15 or 17 years, her work has become so popular, her record sales, partly because of the group right in front of us, have proliferated. And I want to find out how it takes somebody 900 years to become an overnight sensation. And I have an idea, we couldn't have better guides than the ensemble we have with us today. It's the a cappella quartet called Anonymous Four. Let me introduce you to the four singers. Singers and scholars, I should say, both Ruth Cunningham, Marcia Janinski, Susan Hellauer, and Johanna Maria Rose. You are Anonymous Four, and you are going to give us a program that actually is a very specific kind of program from Hildegard. This is the, from your new album, 11,000 Virgins, Chants for the Feast of St. Ursula. Who's St. Ursula? Why is it 11,000 virgins? What is this music all about? What's the ticker crack at this?
Well, it's actually not known when Ursula lived, probably before the 5th century, and we don't know where she was from, possibly from Brittany, but the story goes that she was going to be forced to be married by a heathen prince who was a bit more powerful than her father was, and she didn't really want to do this, so she asked for 3 years to go to Rome to sanctify her virginity. And not only did she ask for that, but she asked to have a company accompany her. She asked to have a number of ships built so that she could have 11,000 virgins accompany her to sanctify their virginity as well. So all of these virgins went to Rome and were sanctified, and on their way back to Brittany, they stopped in Cologne, where yet another prince, heathen of course, wanted to marry her, and this guy was a little bit less tolerant, and when she refused to marry him, he martyred all of them.
Mm. So it's the story of an enormous martyring of these Christian virgins, we're guessing 4th, 5th century, something like that. It's lost
possibly,
in antiquity.
Possibly. There's actually no documentation at all.
Now tell us a little bit about Hildegard, and let's get to her music. Who is Hildegard?
Hildegard was a nun who lived in the 12th century, and she was German and of a very wealthy family. She was the 10th child of that family, and the practice was often to tithe not only your money but your children.
My word.
And send number 10 into the religious life. Of course, that could sometimes not work out very well for all concerned, but this time it certainly did, and Hildegard was eminently suited to this kind of life. She had been seeing visions and foretelling the future, so it is alleged, from a very early age, from early childhood. Things like predicting what color a cow would be when it was born. And it may sound like a parlor trick, but apparently it carried a little more weight than that.
Oh, sure.
When she was in her 40s, she was inspired to write down some of these visions that she had been seeing all along. It was like a call that she heard from above to actually set this all these things down and share her mystical visions. She came to the attention of the Pope and Bernard of Clairvaux, a very important cleric of the time and a friend of Pope's, Pope Eugenius at that time. And she was a certified mystic, which it was not that easy to attain. It wasn't then and it isn't now, but she was certified this way.
And you've arranged this selection of music you're giving us today in the shape of a sort of feast day celebration of Ursula. So there's morning music, midday music, and evening music. This first piece that you sang actually is not by Hildegard, is that correct?
That's correct, and it's a very important part of the way that we put this program together. Very often Hildegard programs, both live and on record, consist only of the music of Hildegard, and that's a wonderful thing, but in order to really perceive the impact that Hildegard's music would have had, we feel that it's more effective in a more natural environment, that is, with some of the chant that would have been heard along with it at the time.
Mm. Okay, well, we're going to move back now, if you can imagine, to the middle 12th century. Here's Anonymous 4, music of Hildegard, followed by a Benedicamus Domino.
Oh.
music is remarkable. Can I ask you to hold just where you are? Because we're in this wonderful church, as you folks at home can hear, there's an echo here that you cannot fake in any recording studio in the world, because we wanted this sound to come to you with some of the sense of what it might have been to hear it in a 12th century cathedral, some of this ring of the echo. I'm far from an expert in this music, which we just heard, which is from the 12th and 13th century. But one of the things I can hear that's very different in Hildegard's music right away is the wide ranges that she uses. You keep singing that opening fifth. I was just trying to think for my mom, who loves music but maybe wouldn't stop to think what a perfect fifth is. Could you sing just the opening phrase of the Spiritui Sancto again? Now listen to what happens, because this goes up like a lark. You know how a lark flies? It flies straight up in the air and hovers and then soars. And I think that's some of the stuff that makes me feel like this is music of ecstasy. Much for singing that again. That's difficult after you've just performed a piece to go back and touch your phrase. Yeah, this is so beautiful, this music of Hildegard von Bingen. We're making a program today with Anonymous Four. We're celebrating some of the music which is included in their new CD, which bears the, for most of us, rather unlikely title, 11,000 Virgins, Chants for the Feast of St. Ursula. One of the things I find interesting is that a great many artists of the medieval are anonymous, period. I mean, just because whether man or woman, we don't know. People didn't sign the work that they did on the frieze of a cathedral or something like that. It strikes me this is very early to know something about an artist, isn't it? To actually have something like a biography of Hildegard.
That's true, and actually probably one of the reasons is because she was so active in areas other than in music. So it's actually, in a way, kind of accidentally lucky for us that she was such an amazing personality in other ways.
Mm-hmm. We're about to move to the second section of the service, the Lauds, and this makes me wonder what life was like in this abbey along the Rhine. I mean, were these nuns of Hildegard, were they at prayer 24 hours around the clock? Were there set hours for sleeping or for study or for working the fields? What was it like to live then?
Well, we haven't quite made an exact study about that, and the different orders definitely had different ways of running their day. This is also the era, the 12th century, of a great reform of monastic life. A lot of monasteries and convents had fallen into, let's say, rather unholy ways of life and rather lax toward their sacred duties. And it was during this time that great reforms took place, the Cistercians, the Premonstratensians. And I'm guessing that Hildegard's little convent probably ran like a tight little ship, mm-hmm. because she was quite remarkable, not only in these very impractical things, such as music and mysticism, but she also redesigned the plumbing system mm-hmm. in her convent and said that was inspired by God, directly by a vision.
Yeah, why not?
As well as these pieces of music and other things that she wrote about. There would have been set hours for prayer at this time, around the clock, but there was also a lot of work done, not so much in the field by the women, but there would have been some amount of work done. Mm-hmm. It would depend on whether this particular convent were very richly endowed or rather a poorer sister.
Right. We're moving now to Lauds, the second service, and tell us what you're going to sing here now.
Right. The entire office during the day would be about singing psalms or decorating the psalm singing. And they're decorated with antiphons, and Hildegard wrote antiphons for the Feast of St. Ursula. We're going to sing one that introduces Psalm 92, Dominus Regnavit, which would be the first psalm you'd hear on a big feast day. So it will be antiphon, psalm, antiphon. And that song will have a little bit of polyphony added to it, as we find in many German manuscripts of the time, if you're wondering what that's all about. That'll be followed by O Ecclesia, one of Hildegard's most famous compositions. It's actually labeled a sequence, which means it should be used at Mass, but it's so irregular and so unsequence-like in its structure, both poetry and music, that it comes out more like a sort of strangely wonderful hymn. So we use it in place of the hymn that would end Lauds, and that's followed then by another Bene Dicamus Domino, which is the closing acclamation of all the office hours. Mm-hmm. And it's the same one we sang at the close of the vigil.
We'll be listening now to Anonymous Four singing music of Hildegard von Bingen.
Thank you.
breathtaking, not only this beautiful music, but this ensemble, Anonymous Four, singing music of Hildegard of Bingen. Your blend of and your pitch are extraordinary, and it's actually sets up a curious tension, at least for me, because you have the purity of these women's voices soaring in this beautiful old church in St. Paul, and the words, like the words of a love poem. Oh, Ecclesia, your eyes are like sapphires and your mouth like the sound of many waters. With great longing, I've longed to come to you. Or maybe if not a love song, maybe a Song of Solomon, like the Psalms, that kind of ecstatic love poetry directed at the divine. But it's a wonderful thing because one expects in church to act rather solemnly, and this music is anything but solemn. It may move rather slowly, but it's ecstatic in its very nature. In case someone's just tuned in the last few minutes and wonders what on earth is going on, or if it is really earth or heaven, we're listening to Anonymous Four, Ruth Cunningham, Marcia Janensky, Susan Hellauer, and Johanna Maria Rose. We're coming to you from St. Bernard's Church in St. Paul. This is Bill McLaughlin, and you're tuned to St. Paul Sunday. If any of you would like to know more about either Anonymous Four or the music of Hildegard von Bingen and have a web connection, we can help you. Just connect through our website and we'll help you get over there. St. Paul Sunday can be found at sunday.mpr.org. That's M as in Minnesota, PR.org. I think we better get back to the music now. This extraordinary composer and visionary, Hildegard von Bingen, coming up on her 900th birthday. It's like it's time to hear some more of her music. Here's Anonymous Four. Tell us what you're going to sing for us for this last section of the show.
Well, we'll start with a hymn, Cum Vox Sanguinis, with the voice of blood. And this hymn is not, it's not assigned to any particular service on that day, but we put it in the evening service at Vespers. And if you remember the first piece we sang tonight, that was also a hymn, not by Hildegard. And the regular, evenly scanned verses of that are a complete contrast to this hymn, in which the verses don't have the same number of syllables. The music is completely different from one verse to another. The word hymn seems very strange. She was a rule breaker in every way, and this piece of music also carries that out. And we'll continue and end the Vespers service with another antiphon, and this time the Magnificat instead of a psalm. The antiphon is O rubor sanguinis, O redness of blood. And then the Magnificat is the typical Magnificat that you hear the normally, the same text, My soul doth magnify the Lord. Here, instead of straight chant, we've added a little bit of polyphonic ornamentation, as we did in the Psalm 92 that we sang earlier.
That may sound like a musicologist's meal for the day, folks, if you're just listening in this. But I'm not making fun of it. There's no way to speak of it very simply. What I am saying is, if you didn't understand all of that, listen to these people sing. Anonymous Four is a spectacular group, and they're going to sing us now music of Hildegard von Bingen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Keine Musik ist ja nicht auf Erden. There's no music on earth that can compare with ours. 11,000 young maidens devote themselves to dancing, and even St. Ursula smiles. Do you know that? It's from actually, where I know is from Mahler Fourth. It's a finale, but it's from the Wunderhorn songs. And this is folk poetry of Germany. So much after the period of this beautiful music we've just heard given us by Anonymous Four, that we've been listening to music of Hildegard von Bingen, the 12th century abbess and composer and poet and mystic. And I agree, keine Musik ist hier nicht auf Erden. There's no music on earth like this. Beautifully sung and realized. I love this whole project, if I can call it that, the Yufkanders is, I think of Schliemann and Troy. It's something like that. When you go back into these manuscripts that have been out of human ken for so long, and I think of the work that you and some few other of your colleagues have done in revealing to us the music of this masterful composer. I'm looking at my new friends here. I mean, I admire these singers so much. Ruth Cunningham, Marcia Janinski, Susan Hellauer, Johanna Maria Rose. They make up Anonymous Four. And they've got lots of records out, but this is their most recent. It's called 11,000 Virgins, Chants for the Feast of St. Ursula. What wonderful singing. Thanks so much for joining us today. I wish you all the success. It's a remarkable accomplishment, the four of you make. The vocal blend is so beautiful. And the pitch is phenomenal. And those are just the technical sides of it. I feel it's really inspired music making that you give us. And I know that's built on scholarship, so I think I'm out of words. Can I thank each one of you? Thank you so much for coming and singing this show today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, Anonymous Four. Check them out on our website, which you can find at sunday.mpr.org. That's M as in Minnesota, PR.org. And drop us email if you'd like. Our address, sunday@mpr.org. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for music and the conversation today. We were coming to you from St. Bernard's Church, about a mile north of the Minnesota Public Radio building, beautiful old church in St. Paul, which we enlisted for its inspiring acoustics, which take us back a little bit to that 12th century cathedral sound. Have a great week, folks, and make sure you tune in next week when we come back here with St. Paul Sunday.
Paul Sunday is made possible by a major grant from the Minnesota-based General Mills Foundation, supporting excellence in education, human services, and the arts. Additional funding has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and by this Public Radio International station. St. Paul Sunday is produced by Minnesota Public Radio. Your host for the series is Bill McLaughlin. The senior producer is Mary Lee. The music producer is Steve Barnett, and the associate producer is Vaughn Ormseth. The engineer is Tom Mudge, with assistance from Craig Thorson and Dean Sandall. The production engineer is Michael DeMarc, and the St. Paul Sunday website is produced by Nancy Blakestead. This is Marianne Sullivan.
Been listening to music of Manuel de Falla as performed by Kim Kashkashian, one of the selections on St. Paul Sunday's newest compact disc, Mixed Company. Visit our website at stpaulsunday.org to order your copy of Mixed Company, Music from St. Paul Sunday. This recording includes performances of Gil Shaham, the Juilliard String Quartet, and many more, all recorded for this program and many not available elsewhere. Order your copy of Mixed Company from the St. Paul Sunday website, stpaulsunday.org.
PRI, Public Radio International.